So, good morning. My name is Yu Jiang, new face here. Currently, I'm a PhD student in University of Georgia, and I work for Dr. Charlie Lee, so you may know him, but he's missing, I guess, because you know, he listened to my rehearsal several times. Okay, today I will give you a presentation regarding identification of cotton foreign mitre using hyperspectral imaging system. As you know, cotton foreign mitre is an important factor for cotton quality assessment, which determines cotton monetary value and marketability. So regarding the foreign mitre, we have two aspects. One is the overall level, you know, the amount of foreign mitre in the cotton fiber. It can be measured by the existing system like the HVI. Another is the category, since, you know, different foreign mitre cause various damages to the fiber or textile products, so people would like to know the category information. But it can only be classified by human, I mean the classer. It's subjective, you know, time and labor consuming. So that's the reason so many research have been conducted to solve this issue. They can be categorized either, you know, imaging-based methods or spectroscopy methods. So for the imaging methods, they are, you know, easy to use, inexpensive, provide spatial information, but they cannot classify the cotton foreign mitre with similar appearance, like similar color, and sometimes the feature, you know, shape feature is not reliable. This botanic thing has changed over time, and so that's the reason people try to use spectroscopy to improve this. You know, they cover from near-infrared to, you know, infrared. But still, they do not provide any, you know, spatial information, and sometimes the sample preparation is very tedious, so seems, you know, they are just an ideal solution for the industry. During the past 2 years, our lab tried to combine these two techniques. First, we use the fluorescent spectroscopy to find the optimal emission and the excitation wavelengths, and then based on that result, we built that fluorescent imaging system. It achieved, you know, 80% or higher for most foreign matter, but only 60 to 80 for bark, torn, and seed coat. Even for brown, you know, leaf, even worse, only 50%. So we think we do not provide enough information for this task. Since we also use hyperspectral imaging system for quite a long time, we thought that be, you know, might be a good way. Here I just briefly explain the principle of this system. We use the reflectance-based model, so we just put the sample on the lens surface, and we scan the sample line by line. Here, just to use the red line indicates the scan line. So for each scan line, we have the line image, which the axis means the spatial dimension, and the lambda axis means the spectral dimension, not the real, you know, 2D images you think about. And then we reconstruct all these line images into the hypercube. So for the three-dimensional hypercube, we can either extract the spatial information at a specific wavelength or extract the spectral information of each pixel. So based on that principle, we developed this system. Here I'll just show you the video. The system includes a hardware platform with a custom software for imaging acquisition. So in the platform, we have the imager, which has the lens, spectrograph, can split the light into continuous wavelengths, and also the CCD camera. We also have this line light, which can shine light on the sample surface. And we also have this motorized linear slider, which can move the sample holder back and forth, so, you know, can ensure we can scan all these lines of the sample. So I will also give you an example of image acquisition. What we need to do is just to put your sample on the lens surface and put on the sample holder. You can set up the file folder here and also the file name and click the scan button. The motor will move the sample holder forward, and during the same time, the imager acquired the images for each scanned line. And then, you know, we can, you know, acquire a set of line images. And then the motor will back the sample holder back to the starting point, and you can prepare another sample for next scan. So compare with the scan speed, I mean, the back speed is much quicker. So during that time, you can prepare the sample. At the same time, the software will automatically combine these languages into the hypercube, and then it will show the spatial images at its specific wavelength predefined by user. So in that study, we already showed the capability of using that system to classify foreign matter, but we still do not explore the data processing method too much, and they affect the performance of the system significantly. So that's the objective of this study. We would like to select the optimal wavelength for foreign matter classification. Also, we needed to evaluate the classification performance using that wavelength. So the samples in the study are cotton linked with 7 types of foreign matter from 2 cultivars. They were harvested in 2013, and the foreign matter was cut into around 1 centimeter square piece, and for each sample we have 30 replicates, and then we use a ROI-based method to extract the spectra for each sample, and the spectra include 256 wavelengths ranging from 400 nanometer to 1000 nanometers, so huge amount of data. So just to show you here, this is the mean spectra of the samples. I want to highlight 2 things. First, plastic bag. You know, plastic bag is transparent. Typically, if you use just a regular color imaging to differentiate that, it's hard to do that because always transparent. It's very similar, you know, with the things it covered. But if you look at the spectra, they show the significant difference at certain wavelengths. So we will talk about it later. And the second is for the top 4 foreign matter. They are kind of brown things in terms of color. You know, if you use your human eye or color imaging, it's hard to differentiate them. But if you look at their spectra, you know, there's obvious difference here. For the data processing, we have 3 steps. So first, we need to remove the noise wavelengths. All these wavelengths, you know, with SNR less than 10 dB, are considered as noise. We just remove them. And then we apply the sequential forward selection to select the optimal wavelength. It starts from an empty set, and it will create a candidate subset by sequentially adding each of non-selected features. And then we evaluate them, select the best one in this iteration until all features were included. Then we get a set of best subset, and based on their performance, we select the optimal one. And then we use the LD as classifier, and we use this optimal wavelength as feature. We do 2-fold cross-validation to prove our performance. This is the criteria for wavelength selection. The global minimum achieved when 88 bands were included, but we only select 22 because it provides very similar performance. But compare, it only has 1/4 wavelength, so it significantly reduced the computational complexity. Here are the 22 optimal wavelengths. They can be grouped into 4 ranges in terms of their range, either blue, green, red, and near infrared. So for the visible range, they are mainly due to the pigments inside, like the carotenoids or chlorophyll. So for the near infrared range, mainly because of some special chemical components or properties. So first, also for lint and plastic, we may see at the red and near infrared range, these plastic things, since they have some special chemical components, so they can show the difference with compared with other foreign matter or cotton lint. Another is for this top 4 brown things. Since they have different amount of carotenoids, so they show a spectral difference at the wavelength around 554 nanometer. So this is the mainly absorption peak of the carotenoids. This is the data visualization just to show you the effectiveness of the selected wavelengths. If we use all wavelengths, you can see the first PCA loading plot, all these brown things mixed together. If we use the selected wavelengths, we can see, especially for the bark inner and the twan, they are separate. So that's the classification result. Only one bark inner misclassified as bark outer. So perfect result seem we perfectly solve this problem and just show up here, but not really. We have to admit several big limitations in this study. First is the sample size. I mean, it's in order to get the accurate spectra for each sample, we have to select, you know, the large piece. And then it's related to the second issue. Now we use the ROI-based method. It's not good for automatic imaging processing. So we have to design some, you know, pixel-level method to do this. And the third issue is the scan speed. Even we significantly reduce the spectral dimension, but it still cannot achieve, you know, very high speed for online system. And the last one is that we are based on reflectance mode, so we do not know any internal information of the lint fiber. In summary, we select 22 optimal wavelengths, and they are highly correlated to the physical or chemical properties of the foreign matter, and the LDA with the optimal wavelengths can be an efficient tool for foreign matter classification. So in future, we will expand our study with more types of foreign matter found in U.S. cotton. Also, we would like to design the online pixel-level-based methods for classification. Finally, we will acknowledge our funding agency, Cotton Incorporated, and Georgia Cotton Commission, also Andy Norton, to provide us these samples. Thanks for your attention. Questions?
Okay, does anyone have a question for you?
Okay, thanks. Please. Okay, now, okay, this speed piece is around like 25 centimeter long. So we scan this user like around 1 minute. Yeah, but from some literature, now we can achieve like up to 200 or 300 line per second. So now it's just like a 15 or 20 line per second. So we still have, you know, much space to improve the system, but we need to reduce the spectral dimension significantly.
Okay,
thanks.